right, we want to welcome you to the table tonight, and we hope that you tuned in last week and listened to Jesse. He came in and kind of helped us learn a little bit about Bible prophecy and why that's important. And so this week we wanted to kind of follow up with why we can believe God's word, and because all of Bible prophecy is in the word of God. And so we want to kind of touch on why God's word is the truth. And we live in a world where everybody thinks, I have my truth and you have your truth. And so, you know, it's hard to know what the truth is. But God's word is the truth, regardless what you think your truth is. And so there can't be two truths.
Yeah, and a lot of people always say, you know, just live your truth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, there is one truth, and that's it.
That's
and so that means your truth is not the truth, and you're being deceived. So, but that's just how our world is. So, okay, you're going to start tonight.
Okay. So why can we stand on God's word, and why can we live God's word out today, especially in the days that we're living in with the craziness? And so, you know, we can stand on God's word because the word became flesh. I mean, that's right in the beginning of the Bible. And our Messiah, Jesus Christ, he became flesh and dwelt among us. And so John 1:17 says, in the beginning as was the word, and the word was with God. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, just from the beginning, it's... Give me why you can stand on the word of God, because that is him. Mm-hmm. It's every bit of the Bible. I don't have mine with me tonight, but
we both forgot our Bibles. Crazy, but that's okay.
I usually have my bag with everything in it, but the word is inspired by God. So we know that the Bible tells us that. And so it tells us that in 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be adequately equipped for every good work.
Yes. I was watching, I get on Prime, and I like to look at kind of like the documentaries of Jesus, and I like to know about Jerusalem. It's just something that has just recently, like normally those were boring to me, but I guess now that I've fallen in love with Jesus, I want to know everything. And so I was watching this thing about the historical proof of Jesus, not what the Bible says, but what history says about Jesus. And it is amazing the proof that we have about things
in
the Bible.
It's not just in the Bible.
Right.
It's like in, you know, history books.
Yes. And there are people who were, non-Christians who have documented mm-hmm. everything about Jesus that lines up with the Bible. It is really amazing. I was blown away, actually. They even have like the Jordan River, where if you go to the Holy Land, you can go to the Jordan and be baptized where Jesus was baptized. And so, like, people would say, well, how do you know this is where Jesus was baptized? And they have all this documentation, and they have everything to prove that this was the area where Jesus was. Because, you know, for so long you have, you know, just word of mouth of people who live, like, you know, this is where, like, back in the day, this is where a restaurant was that happened when we were young or whatever, word of mouth, and then things get documented. So it is really amazing to go and look at the history part of Jesus outside of the Bible to see the truth of it. You know, I have on here is, you know, I think everyone seeks the truth. I think everyone wants to know the truth. I think that people watching this podcast, you're watching it because you want to know the truth. Mm-hmm. But you can't know the truth or the message of the Bible apart from the words of the Bible. And so if you want to know what the truth is, you have to read the Bible. And a lot of people are like, well, you know, how do you know Muhammad isn't truth? Or how do you know, Buddha and all these things isn't the truth? It's because everything has happened. Well, first of all, Jesus is risen. Mm-hmm. Muhammad is dead. Mm-hmm. Buddha is dead.
Yeah.
And so we have a risen Lord and Savior, and it is documented in history that everyone there was no body, there's no proof, whatever. And if the resurrection is false, then we're fools.
Yeah.
And so our whole...
I'd rather be a fool, though.
Absolutely. But the truth of God's word is from, like you said, from the very beginning. God wrote a book, and
the very first verses started with truth.
That's right. That's right. He wrote a book, and in the book, he spoke what he wanted to say exactly. He desired to say it in a way where we would understand it, because we're going to be held accountable for what the book says. So, like, what you do with the Bible and the Word of God depends on your eternity, whether it be heaven or hell or the lake of fire or the new kingdom. But God has spoken, and he didn't mumble his words. He spoke clearly, exactly, directly to the matter that concerns him and concerns us. He has swore that it's the whole truth and nothing but the truth. There's many verses that says that God cannot lie, you know, and the fact that it doesn't contradict itself, and that it everything happens. So, like, you know, in order for something to be true, you have to kind of wait and see if what it says comes true. And everything that it has says has came true, even all of the prophecies of Jesus.
And then what else in this world can you rely on to be faithful and perfectly true? There's nothing but mm-hmm. the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Titus 1:9 says, holding fast the faithful word, which is in accordance with the teaching, so that he will be able to both strongly encourage sound doctrine and refute those who contradict it. That's what we need right now. We need to know the word so well that when a false teacher comes up to us, we can refute it.
We can recognize it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Oprah, our pastor said on Sunday, he was talking about Oprah, and, you know, all these people say there's many ways to heaven. And our pastor was like, if there were many ways to heaven besides what the Bible says, that Jesus is the only way, then God wouldn't have sent his son to die. If there was another way to heaven, he would have said, okay, just take that way, because I don't want to give up my son because I love him so much. Mm-hmm. But that Jesus is the only way. And I think that sometimes, you know, it is a battle of good and evil. You know, you've got the truth and you have the lie. And the lie came in Genesis 3 when the serpent crawled up to Eve and was like, so God said you would die, you know? And so you begin to question what the truth is. And that's from the very beginning. We have always, you know, questioned what the truth is. So there is a truth, and that is God's word. And Satan, anything that makes you question the truth of God's word is demonic. It's Satan that is trying to get you, to deceive you away from the truth. And so people don't realize that. They're like, I have my truth. That doesn't mean that it's true. That's just what you believe. And so you have to have a truth to go by, and that is the Word of God. And so for me, that gives me comfort to know that I can stand on the Word of God. You know, I shared in church on Sunday that...
You did so good on Sunday.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know why
she
just...
She got up there and preached a little bit.
Did I preach a little bit?
And then she sang this song, and it was just amazing.
Oh, well, thank you.
And even Abby was like, Mom, she ate that song up.
That's hilarious. That was sweet. But I just said, you know, we had this cell phone scare, you know, and I'll say at first, you know, I couldn't get hold of my kids, couldn't get hold of my husband. And, you know, I'm like, because we're so reliant on that cell phone. But the Holy Spirit just whispered to my ear, like, you are in constant contact with me. Like, there's no hacking. There's no way that my communication with you can get. And for me, that gave me such comfort to know that, you know, his name is higher. His name is greater. He's higher than any of the presidents or the prime ministers or
kings. You know, the first thing that Tommy came to me with.
What's that?
When the phone service was down. Did you pay that bill?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That, and I'm all thinking like, oh, here we go.
And you know, he gets up way earlier than I do. And so I'm like trying to look at my phone, find that I found, you know, and I've set it up on auto pay.
Right, so right. But you just never know, you know. I've heard there was a solar flare and a satellite crashed, and then it was hackers from China. So, but the thing that we rely so much on that stuff that we need to understand that when in those times when maybe there is another grid goes out or whatever, you still have connection with God, mm-hmm. and He is still above all of those things and all of those people causing the havoc and stuff. And so, yeah, that was crazy, but you know. We just have to understand that we have the truth to stand on. And so when times come, the Bible says, don't be afraid. Mm-hmm. And so when scary times come, we stand on that. That his word says, don't be afraid. And that is comfort to know that, and that he goes before us and he's sovereign over everything that happens. And so when you have the truth of the word, it is such a peaceful comfort in the times of...
It's a strong foundation.
Yes.
You know, and firm you foundation. Have that strong, firm foundation, especially in today's world, with everything that's going on, you might not realize how important it is right now, mm-hmm. but when that storm comes...
Mm-hmm. That's right. And you can be like, oh gosh, God told me not to be afraid.
And that was like, so Matthew 7:24-7, of the parable where Jesus tells the parable of the wise and the foolish believers. The wise built his house on the rock, mm-hmm. while the foolish man built his on the sand. And so a strong foundation, it can be like an anchor. Like it just keeps us steady. Mm-hmm.
It won't be shaken.
No, and as long as we stay focused on Jesus, when troubles come our way, especially when we've got that in our heart.
Right.
You know.
Right. And you may not think that you know those verses, and you may not know the verse, but you'll remember, the Holy Spirit will remind you of what he wants you to remember in those times.
He gives it mm-hmm. to you.
Yeah, and then you just anchor to it. But God's word is alive. So it's a book that can never be finished because it is alive and active. And it is, it says, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And so a verse may not speak to you right at that moment, but when you need to be convicted of a sin or you need to be comforted, that's when the word becomes alive and it means something to you. And it doesn't really matter, you know, I mean, I've read things 50,000 times and then just get it. Like it yeah. just comes alive off the page, like the Lord highlights it for me.
It's unchanging, but yet you can get something out of it differently. Mm-hmm. Isaiah 48 tells us that the grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of God stands forever.
Yes. Yes, that's good. And it won't be shaken for anything. That's what I love. His word is alive, and no matter what we're going through, we can go to scripture and learn something about God and learn something. So you're always learning about God, and you're always learning about yourself because you grow and you mature and you are going through a sanctification process to become more like Jesus. And so it's a survival guide for me. It reveals God, who he is and what he desires us to know. And so, and it's kind of different for each person. We're all in different stages and we all have different struggles and we all have different, callings and spiritual gifts. And so he's going to let his word speak to me where he lets his word speak to you. And it's just alive and active. God's word is active. Scripture functions in a mysterious way that other literature cannot duplicate because the Bible is God's word. God moves through it to shape, heal, form, create, and inspire us to draw near to him. So it's in the time of grief and death when those verses comfort you, or when you're in sin, they convict you. You know, and it's just where you are. And a lot of people say, well, I don't hear God's voice. How do I know what God is saying to me? You read his word. Mm-hmm. And so that's why I always say, like, you're fighting for your life. And so you go to the scripture that whatever you're going through, if you're sad, you go to scriptures that talk about being sad. If you're praising his name and thankful, then you go to those thankful verses and praise his name. It's just ongoing. It's just never the same experience every time you open that Bible, and because your life is changing so much. So what else do you have over there? And of course, it, like I said before, it's been written over 1500 years by over 40 different authors, and it's 66 books wrote in two different sections. But when you read it, you read it as one full book. That's supernatural. Yeah. That is nothing that any human can do on their own. That it is God breathed, and he spoke, the Holy Spirit spoke to every author of that book and told them what to write, and that's what they wrote. No man wrote it themselves. So,
well, the word gives us promises, and I just wrote or put down a few of these, the promises. The word is full of his promises, gives us hope. So God promised us salvation to all who believe in his son. So that's Romans 1, 16 through 17. God promised blessing for all who will delight themselves in his word. So that's Psalm 1, 1 through 3. God promised that his love will never fail. That's 1 Chronicles 16, 34. God promised comfort in our trials, 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 4. God promised peace when we pray, Philippians 4, 6 through 7.
Yeah. It's just whatever you need.
Yeah. And his peace is protection, and it guards our hearts. So
I find so much peace in his word, though. Like every prayer, I'm like, thank you for your word. Because many times when you're teaching or you're talking about Jesus and someone comes against you, you go to his word to fight that battle. If someone is saying, oh, you're teaching wrong or whatever, you go to his word. You don't have to like come up with anything, you know, snazzy or, you know, spicy, whatever, of your own word. You just go to his word. His word defends it. Oftentimes when I'm searching for direction or comfort, God meets my needs through his word. And so that's why I say whatever you're going through, it doesn't matter what you're going through. You seek those verses. I go to Pinterest a lot, and I'll type in heartbroken or grieving or...
you can go to the back of your Bible and look up, you know,
words. And it will take you to every one of those verses. And then those are the verses that you meditate on. Those are the verses that are alive and active and working when you are in those situations. God's word...
It might take you a minute, though.
Yeah.
Like, for me, it's like, okay, I'll look up... When I was looking up, studying for this, I went to the back of the Bible, looked up, you know... word, and it took you to the word of God. So there's like a long list of Bible verses there, and so not every one of them kind of went with what we were
right
doing. So
right.
But then it puts you in the Bible even more.
That's right. You're learning it.
Yeah.
And then like it convicts you, and it's almost like a counselor, you know, like you have a problem or a sin issue or your whatever, and you go and you find out what God's word says about it. It can make you cringe a little bit because you're like...
Steps on your toes.
Ugh. Yeah. You know, but that is the first part where God is like, okay, here's what my word says. And if you don't obey it, then it just, that's when you start to spiral. And that's when, and then eventually the Lord will turn you over to whatever sin you're dealing with. And then that's when discipline comes. And I've been under that. And that is not a good place to be. The Bible is the word of God. He does not, and that's one thing everybody would be like, oh, I had a dream, and this is what the Lord revealed to me. And so you have to be really, really careful with stuff like that, because everything that God has given to those authors, he has revealed everything he wants us to know.
Mm-hmm.
And so if someone has a dream and they have, like, what's that guy's name? Joseph Smith.
Oh, yeah.
False, okay? Because God won't reveal more to someone else later on. He has revealed everything from the beginning to the end. Everything. Now, if somebody has a dream about something that is going on that is in God's word, absolutely, you can believe that. But if they're adding or saying, God showed me this, and it like contradicts with what the word, they're false and you don't believe them. And so you have to be really, really careful. He's not going to, there's even books that are wrote that will contradict what the word of God says. And so those are demonic spirits, and there's books that are wrote by demons, people who are demon possessed, or you know, but he's not going to give people dreams, and he's not going to have somebody write a book that is contradictory to what his word says. He has spoken. There's one God, and he has spoken in one book, and anything else is demon inspired. So the Quran, the Mormon book, all of that, it is false. And that's just the truth. It's deception. So our world teaches that there's many religions, many ways to heaven, and we are supposed to allow everyone to have their own and their own truth. But their truth is not the truth. And so that's what people will say, well, just let them believe what they want to believe. No, because I care about their soul.
Yeah.
And that's what people cannot get with me. They're like, just let them believe. It's their truth. Their truth is deception from the devil. Yeah, that's what they'll say to me. Mm-hmm. Like, who cares? It's their choice. But they're believing a lie. They're being deceived. And I love them enough to say, there is only one truth, and you're wrong, you know, because here's the truth. It's not my words. It's the word of God. And so, but that doesn't normally go over very well. A lot of people don't like to be, but you will always be in trouble when you speak God's word. Always be in trouble. Jack Hibbs, for instance, he's in a lot of trouble. He's a pastor that was invited to speak at Congress.
Yeah.
And it was funny. I was listening to him and he was like, I was invited, but they had the, they have all these rules. Now Abraham Lincoln and all them, they said that you can't ever start a meeting without praying. Cause you know, we were founded on, you know, got on the word of God. And so, but they've added some rules to it. Like it can't be over 150 words. You can't say Father and you can't say Jesus. Now, isn't that funny that they say you can't say Muhammad or you can't say Buddha?
Yeah.
Or you can't say any, you just can't say Jesus. Now, why can't you say Jesus? Same way with the disciples when they were preaching in the synagogues and the temple guards came against them and said, you can heal and you can preach, but you just can't preach in the name of Jesus. So that is your first clue that there's power in his name.
He said he had gotten up there and had a prayer prepared. And
he had to submit it.
Yeah, before he went on, he apologized to the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he got up there, he was just led to do this other prayer.
Yeah.
So it started out with Father God, Jesus, and God Almighty.
Yes, that's right.
You know?
And when he ended, he said we need to repent. Our nation needs to repent for their sins.
Mm-hmm.
I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. I would have loved to have been a fly on the wall. And you know, he was I bet he could tell too, but he was bold enough to go against our government.
Mm-hmm.
They could have thrown him in jail. They could have done anything. And God picked, it wasn't Jack Hibbs just getting asked. The Lord put his name in someone's ear, just as he did David.
But they had to know.
I don't know. I think everybody else follows the rule. This isn't the first pastor that has prayed.
Yeah.
So as he closes, he says, in the name of our crucified Savior and risen Lord Jesus Christ.
I was like,
yes. It was amazing. It was amazing. And so that's like when people who win Grammys and Emmys, you know, these Emmys and stuff, and they'll say, oh, thank you, God. Shut up. Go sit down. You know, until you say the name of Jesus, you haven't done anything to glorify.
And that's when you start offending people.
So 26 Congress members of the Democratic Party are tore up. They're losing their ever-loving mind. And I think it's great. And I think, you know, one thing that I love about Jack Hibbs, and it's Jack Hibbs and John MacArthur for me, because during COVID, you know, our government was saying, okay, these abortion clinics, you guys can stay open, but the churches, y'all need to close because you're not essential. And Jack Hibbs was like, and John MacArthur was like,
I know Jack Hibbs even talked about, he sent the governor a letter telling him they were staying open.
Yes. And I mean, they were sending him letters.
It wasn't even like he was trying to hide it.
No, he's like, I'm staying open. Face. This is how it's going to be. Now, our pastor, Pastor Lee Cruz, they had a car church. So he stood up on a wagon and with a microphone. And I think sometimes he didn't have a microphone, but they sat in their cars. I mean, like, those are the pastors. Like, if your church closed, I mean, I think a lot of pastors are probably like, man, I didn't do good there.
The church that I was going to prior, we had drive-in church. So, you know,
our old church closed.
The preacher was under the awning of the, you know, where you pull up to drop people off, and the worship band was up there, and we sat in our cars, and when it was time to praise, we were honking the horns.
I remember passing by the church I currently go to. I remember passing by and seeing all those cars out there, and I wasn't going to church. So, of course, I was also detoxing and just starting out on my journey.
Look at you now.
Yeah, and look at me now. I mean, I would be totally different than that was.
You know, when you were up there singing on Sunday, that's what I was thinking about.
Yeah.
Making me tear up. That's like how far you've come and what you were able to do up there on stage. That's just...
And the part that for me with my testimony is I didn't do any of it. It was the Lord. And so, like, when somebody says
for me, you had to be obedient.
I did, but it was like, it was almost like he made me believe. He gave me the strength. Like, it was nothing of myself. And so I can't boast about anything because mm-mm. I didn't have the strength to stop on my own. I didn't have the strength to do anything. And so, like, when, and I think that that's why I have such passion now, because it wasn't me. It was Christ in me. And then that's what fuels my fire, you know? And it's like, when you have been, I say this over and over, but when you've been rescued from a place that you know that you could never have gotten out of yourself, you're just so grateful and thankful, and you just can't sit down, you know? And I mean, it's just the story with you as well. You know, he saved you for this reason right here.
I feel like I'm on fire like you are. Like, there's something driving me, and I feel that drive, and I'm obedient to it.
Could you sit down?
No.
No. So your fire just looks different than my fire. I'm more outspoken, where you're a prayer behind the scenes type. You know.
And I think, you know, just because I know there's been some comments about, you know, we want to hear both of you more.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Christy's fault. Like, Christy's a teacher. I'm finding this out because we did personality quizzes at work.
That's good.
I'm more of an introvert than I thought I was. Mm-hmm. And you know, I've always had a problem with public speaking. So this is a big deal. Starting this was a big deal. It's not as much of a big deal now.
You're just more comfortable now.
Yeah.
I'm
not sweating right now.
Yes, sweating. We used to have lip sweat and everything. But yeah, so on Sunday, I was telling Lisa, I was like, you know, you've got to start talking more. So we set goals and, you know, she we're different learners. I am a teacher. But what she does is, like, I will teach it, but she brings in the Word of God, where I just teach about it. And then you take it to where it is. But we did talk about her making it more personal, and it's a growing thing. And it's not that you're doing anything wrong or, you know, but I mean, I know people want to hear you more.
But I've been convicted of it. I've been struggling with it.
So. And the Holy Spirit's been with me to push you.
Yeah.
I mean, I sat down on Sunday and said, listen.
Well, we both started talking about it because it's been bothering me.
Yes.
I don't want to leave everything on your shoulders. And that's what I feel like I'm doing. But
yeah. And I feel like I'm just gabbing all the time. But I just think that it's just you getting comfortable with, and it's figuring out how, because each week we study. Mm-hmm. We have to study for what we're going to talk about. And, you know, for me, I can go far wide with it, where you want that. And that's just different study styles.
Yeah.
And so, but it.
Well, that's what I was like at Sunday school with Christy. I was like, I just need, like, you teach the big stuff, and I need to, like, have something more, like, pinpoint something more that I can focus on and talk about. And then she's like, then you need to, like, talk about, like,
a personal story. Do you have a personal story?
Well, I was watching a sermon by Pastor Billy Johnson. Mm-hmm. I've never heard of him before.
Mm-mm.
But when I was looking at this topic, he popped up. And so it's the Word teaches us and gives us a way out of sin. And so one of the examples that he was given, he said, imagine that you're clothed in a white robe, and every time you sin, Satan walks up and writes your sin on your robe. And he said, and then imagine Jesus coming up to you with his white robe, taking your sin off and putting the white robe, his white robe, on you.
Yeah.
He said, that's what this is about.
That's a great illustration.
I know. I had never heard that before. But it's like, imagine walking around in that robe with your sins all written down on them. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go, and then Jesus says, come here, take mine.
Yeah,
you know,
I'll wear your sin for you.
Yeah,
gosh,
it's like drop.
Yeah, my God. You did so good. Well, you know, we have to know that when we speak truth, and it has to be the Word of God, like, your truth, you can't stand on your truth, you have to stand on His truth. And when you stand on His truth, it is going to ruffle the feathers of 26 Congress people or whatever. But I want to be bold like Jack Hibbs. And I heard, later on in that interview, he was like, well, I'm just being like Paul. you know, and he said, that's what we're supposed to be. Interview. Yeah. But it just blows my mind. And they tell us that we have religious freedom, but we don't. We don't, because we're supposed to let them believe what they want to believe, and they can act how they want to act, and they can, you know, and we're just supposed to be this loving Christian who is okay with everything. But when we stand for our truth, we get in trouble, or
we're told to be inclusive.
Yes, that we're mean and we're not kind, when we're just standing on the truth. And
but then when you're told to be inclusive, that kind of, that takes away, like, them being inclusive towards you and your beliefs.
Yeah, it's very one-sided, but it rattles the darkness, and it rattles the demonic spirits when you speak God's truth. And so I just thought Jack Hibbs, right now, he's my hero for standing up. He's just a great example of who we should be in our everyday
life. Could you imagine him in that moment? Because I was watching the video. I could tell a little bit of, like,
nerves. I mean, he's human. Yeah. He's human.
And he knew what he was doing.
Yes. And yes. He was sent there with that assignment. Yeah. And so if you look at that, like, when next time you walk into your work cafeteria and you see somebody that God has told you to go over and sit beside and start talking to, that's your assignment. That's what you're sent into that room for.
Even he was talking about every time he goes, gets ready to go out on stage to do a sermon, he is 30 minutes before, he has nerves. Mm-hmm. After 30 some years of him preaching,
I think it's because you're looked at so closely. Like, if you mess up or your word is wrong or you get the wrong address. And I will say, Jesse was so tore up last week because he said the wrong address for one of the, she was going to email or text it to me. But so for those, if you did catch it, he did have a wrong address on one of his things that he's just popping, but we're human, you know? And so that's why people are so fearful of speaking up, because you're under a microscope of everything you do. And that's why it's important to say you're sorry and to apologize and to be humble and to, you know, that's just how, that's the world we live in. So I'm a Chosen girl. I love The Chosen. Mm-hmm. And in the movie theaters right now, there was episode 1 through 3. And we went and watched it. So you're there 3 hours with a small intermission. So we went Sunday night and watched episodes 4 through 6. Girl, great. I'm telling you, it is the best. I am so excited. And it just blows my mind, the people that come against The Chosen and so nitpicky on, oh, well, that's not how it's supposed to say, or they, you know.
And the way you described some of it is, like, there are fillers in it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's a movie. You can't just sit there and, I mean, the Bible just reads one verse and it may just, I mean, but there are some fillers in it, but it just brings it to life. It's like they're in this 8-day celebration of the Feast of Dedications. It's right. Lazarus has just died. Okay. So he's getting ready to go to the tomb of Lazarus. But during that 8-day celebration, Lazarus dies. That's biblical. That actually happened. But while they're in there celebrating for 8 days, the boys are arm wrestling each other. And it is boy stuff. Like, you can relate to it because you have a son or a grandson or a nephew or somebody that you can relate, that you know that boys arm wrestle and they argue. These boys argued all the time of who was greater. And you see the frustration of Jesus, and he would just be like, they don't get it, you know. It's just really good, and it humanizes everything, because I have a hard time relating to two Bible men. It's just hard. But when you have a movie that kind of lets you see them as a human, just like me and just like you, who had struggles, and it kind of just puts it all into perspective. So I want you to know that you can stand on God's word. And if you doubt God's word, then you pray about it and you ask him to help your unbelief. It's okay to doubt. I think that's what Satan does for all of us. Until you can stand on it and be confident in it. Because there'll be a time, like Jack Hibbs, when the Lord might call you to something. Mm-hmm. And are you going to follow through? And the only way he could have followed through was because of the truth of God's word. To know that we have a crucified Savior and a risen Lord. Jesus Christ. And so,
and it's okay to ask for, you know, God help you with your unbelief.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I've done that many times, many times, even in these last 5 years.
Well, even with like doubting Thomas, you know,
yeah, yeah.
Jesus was right there to help him with it. So
that's right. That's what he does. So just get into the word and pray and watch The Chosen when it comes out. And that will really help you kind of understand everything. So we'll be back next week.